Okay, good evening to everyone. It's good to see you on this evening, our first evening class, the Contemporary Bible class. We know we've all had a time change because Salem Baptist Church has now resumed live worship. So according to our pastor, Reverend Dr. Selwyn Q. Backus, as well as our ministry leader who is with us, Sister Marcia Hall, and I am the teacher, most everyone out here knows that, Sister Velma Jean Sanders. So because we're back in live worship at Salem, we had to change our class times, which is fine. So it's good to be here at 6:30 p.m. Everything will remain the same basically with class. I'm going to be the same Velma, teaching basically the same style, no difference there. We will begin, I always like to begin on time and end on time. That way everyone knows what to expect. Periodically, not every week, but periodically we may have, because we don't have to rush off to a virtual service, we may have time afterwards, not every week, but some weeks for questions, for comments. So we'll see how the Lord leads with that. But for the most part, it will be from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. So let me make a few announcements here. Everyone is welcome, you know that. And I encourage you to continue to invite others to join the class. And it could be any Bible class, but everyone needs to be in some good Bible study, of which this is one, but God has many others. And he has a class for everyone. Everyone is not meant to be in the same class. People are different. We grow at different levels. We learn in different styles. Teachers teach in different styles. And so God has something for everyone. But I'm glad that you are here, and I encourage you to invite others to join this class. We will, most all of you know, I don't think there's anyone out here new today, right now. I sent out the weekly Zoom invitations, and I have all of your email addresses. So if Sister Marcia happens to see anyone that comes into class that I don't have their email address, if you would send them a chat and we'll try to get it. Each class is recorded. You all know that. Today's class will be on my website, godswordalive.net, probably tomorrow, but it'll be on there early in the week. I sent out a Zoom invitation, as I do every week. I sent one last week with Luke chapter 14. It was the Zoom invitation for today. And I know some of you, you see those invitations and you just immediately delete them because you think you know what's going to be in them, just the meeting ID. But I do have attachments to some of those invitations. So I would encourage you to at least glance over, look at the invitations. It may be an attachment or some information, or it could be a homework assignment or something for you to research. So I encourage you not to just dismiss those emails automatically. On my last Zoom email, I sent out Luke chapter 14. It was an attachment in three different versions of the Bible. And I did that because we're starting a new chapter today. And I wanted you all to have different versions. So I sent out the New King James Version, which is the version that I teach from and that we use from class for classroom purposes. Also sent out the NIV, New International Version, as well as the Message Translation. So I welcome you. Today we're going to continue in our study of the Gospel according to Luke. And Luke chapter 14 is where we are. We started in Luke chapter 1. It's been a while ago now. But the goal is to go from Luke chapter 1 all the way to the end of the book. And so this evening, we will be starting Luke chapter 14. So let's go to our God in prayer, and then we'll continue on in study. Blessed God, we come before you on this evening in the name of Jesus, and we offer unto you praise and glory and adoration. We praise you that you will call us, Lord God, sons and daughters of God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you for making it possible. We thank you that you are a God who so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. We thank you for opening our eyes to see. We thank you, Lord God, for calling us unto yourself. We praise you, Lord God, that you brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light. We praise you, Lord God, that you've been seeing about us all the days of our life. Even when we, before we were even formed in our mother's womb, you were seeing about us, Lord. And we want to say thank you. Praise your holy name. And then, Lord God, at the appointed time, you saw fit and it was by your ordained purpose, Lord God, that we were born. And we praise you and thank you for creating us. You could have created the whole world and not created us, but you did create us, and we're so glad, and we want to say thank you. And not only that, you have caused us by grace through faith to be born again. And now, Lord, we want to feed on the word of God. We ask you to be our teacher. I'm only a vessel, Lord. That's all. You are the teacher. I yield myself to you, and I ask you, Lord, to speak to each one of us. Feed us, Lord God. You know the measure of food we need. We pray for the absent part of us, for those who cannot be in class, or perhaps they forgot, or something else came up. We remember them in prayer. We pray that all is well. And we pray for one another and for all the needs in this class, everyone standing in need of something. We lift up each one in prayer. And then, Father, we would be remiss as Christians if we didn't pray for hurting humanity. We see masses and masses and masses of people. Lord God, we see Afghanistan trying to find and trying to get away. We see, Lord God, on the news, Mexicans and Latinos and Mexicans trying to go to different lands. And we see in Haitians, Lord God, people without food and without shelter in the elements, Lord God. And so we just call on you as Christians, Lord God. We want to always have a heart of compassion. Lord God, so the best we can do is say, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on hurting humanity, Lord God. We don't understand all these things, but we know that you are God. And so we just want to pray, Lord God, if we can help one somebody, it may not be a Haitian or probably will not be, and perhaps it will be. But if it's just one somebody we can help along this way, help us, Lord God, to have a heart of compassion, a heart of mercy, and a heart of love. You said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And so we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. And we want to say thank you for all of our blessings, Lord. We don't want to take any one of them for granted. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to continue on now in our study of the gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 14, and I will be introducing this chapter on today, as you know that. So here we have our Bibles, and we're looking at Luke chapter 14, and you all know I like to give outlines. And the outline that I'm going to give, and the reason I give outlines is because when you look at Luke chapter 14, we see that it is a fairly lengthy chapter. Of course, it's not the longest chapter in the Bible, but it's by no means the shortest. There are 35 verses in Luke chapter 14. That's a lot of verses, a lot of words, relatively speaking. And so if we say Luke chapter 14, well, yeah, that would be the name of I'll use the analogy again, of our restaurant today. It's Luke chapter 14. That's where we're going to quote, hang out today. And I say that reverently, in the 14th chapter of Luke. Well, what's in this chapter? Well, we see there's a lot in there. We notice right off the bat, if you have a red letter Bible, that there's a mixture of red and black. There's a narrative going on. There's a conversation. Jesus says something, but first of all, it starts out in verse 1. The narrative continues. The gospel continues. Luke is still writing. And Luke, being the narrator, recording what is being done, he says in verse 1, now it happened. In other words, the story continues. The gospel continues, now it happened. But when he says now it happened, that's also a scene change, as it were. The Bible gives its own outlines if you look closely, and it says now it happened. And that lets us know something else is going to happen. But even though we're in chapter 14, chapter 14 is still connected to chapter 13, 12, 11, 10, all the way back. As a matter of fact, in some way, Luke is connected to Matthew, Mark, and John. And then in another way, it's also connected to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Revelation. It's one Bible, one book, one revelation here. But we're looking at the portion in Luke chapter 14. And so I like to give an outline so that we will be able to better see what's in the chapter. We want to, like I use the analogy of the meal, we want to cut our food, we want to portion it off. And so when I give the outlines, especially in this, our introductory lesson to Luke 14, that's what I'll be doing. Now, I have several outlines. First of all, in Luke chapter 14, and Lord willing, we will read the chapter in its entirety this evening. We'll see how that works out. If we don't get around to reading the entire chapter this evening, just as reading it without commentary, I want you this week to make sure that you read Luke chapter 14. But let's look first of all at the outline here that I have. Now, this is Velma's outline. This is the way God has given it to me. If we had 10 teachers standing up here, 10 teachers would teach differently. And all of them, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each of them had what God gave to them. And all of them were right, we can say. So it's no right or wrong. This is just the way God gives it to me, has given it to me to give to you. Well, Luke chapter 14, with its 35 verses, I have outlined a big outline, first of all. It divides into two sections. The first section is beginning at verse 1, Luke chapter 14, verse 1, all the way down to verse 24. So Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 24. And we'll say that's part 1. The A portion, part 1. Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 24. And I'll say a little more on that in a minute. And then the second portion, the B portion of this chapter, would be Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 25. Verses 25 all the way to the end of the chapter, verse 35. And so A portion of the chapter, verses 1 through 24. The B portion of the chapter, verses 25 through 35. So now we've subdivided. We have Luke chapter 14, and we've portioned it off into two. Well, what are the themes? Sister Velma, why would you outline it in these particular sections? Well, first of all, I'm going to give you a general word. The first part of this, verses 1 through 24, all have to do in some way with fellowship, relationship, fellowship with God, relationship with God and with others. It has in some way to do with communion, being together in verses 1 through 24. And so the key word that I will put on the A portion is fellowship. But then the B portion is, beginning at verse 25 through 35, it talks about discipleship. So discipleship is in verses 25 through 35. And we're just perusing the chapter now. I'm giving an overview, an introduction of the chapter. In weeks and months, perhaps, but weeks to come, we'll be landing the plane, as it were, and getting out of the plane and looking at this chapter closer. But right now, we're doing an overview. And so we have Luke chapter 14 dividing into two portions. First portion, verses 1 through 24, that has to do in some way with relationship with God and with man. Relationship, communion, fellowship, getting along with others. And then the B portion, verses 25 through 35, that has to do with discipleship. Now you may ask, well, why do you say that the A portion has to do with fellowship? Well, let's look at it a little closer here. When we first look at verse 1, and I'm going to begin some reading here, won't be reading it word by word, but we're going to pretty much cover all of these verses. Well, verse 1, now it happened as he went into the house of the ruler of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And so that's our scene. Right from the beginning is our scene. You know, the plays and the stage plays, and the curtain goes up and you have the stage is set. And our stage is, now it happened, Jesus is going into this house. Whose house is it? It is the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees. And so, by the way, as you all know, I read and teach from the New King James. If you have another version, that's fine. And that would be why the difference of the words. But anyway, so Jesus goes into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees. Okay, so we have Jesus, and you can imagine, of course, the disciples are with Jesus, but we also have a ruler, so that's a man of distinction. I mean, the fact that he's a Pharisee makes him a man of distinction anyway, a man with some status, a man with some social esteem, we could say. And so Jesus, he's in the house of the ruler of one of the Pharisees. Why is he there? What's going on? Well, this is going to fit in with my theme of this part one, fellowship, communion, relationship, because we're going to notice all the way from verse 1 through verse 24, over and over again, you're going to notice a lot of food, eating, banqueting, a supper, a meal. It's all evolving around, or one thing common, I should say, to this passage is food, a meal. They're sitting together in relationship. Might not be the best of relationship, we'll find out, but it's not necessarily the best of relationship, but they are together in the house. And that's one definition, an elementary definition of fellowship. Perhaps you've heard it. What is fellowship? It's two fellows in the same ship. So we have our two fellows in the same ship. But we're going to find out there's going to be quite a few fellows in this ship. So regardless, you know, they may not be the best of friends or buddies. You may not say they may not have the greatest relationship, but it's a relationship. That's what's going on in this A portion of the passage. They are sitting together. It says in verse 1, Jesus goes into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath. And so, you know, communing together around food. And I want you to get, when you meditate on this chapter this week, which I encourage you not only to read it, but also picture it, get into it, act it out. You know, the Bible tells us meditate on the word of God. That's one key to prosperity. That's one key to success. The Lord told Joshua that way back in the book of Joshua. It's good success. Meditate on the word. And so I encourage you to picture it out. You could act it out. You could talk it out, act it out, and get into the passage. And lo and behold, God will begin to break bread, as it were, and reveal to you even more. And so we have relationship going on because we have the ruler of the Pharisee, and Jesus is in the house. And on top of that, it is the Sabbath. It's the Sabbath day. Well, the Sabbath day, we know that day of rest that God set aside way back in Genesis. And there's a whole lot more could be said about the Sabbath. But I want you to picture, for the sake of relationship here, just picture a Sunday meal after church. It would be like the after church Sunday meal. It would be like back in the day. When I say back in the day, it might not be so far back for some, and others maybe have never experienced, but there would be great get-togethers. Some churches would even have meals outdoors. And so I want you to picture, it's the Sabbath. It's a special day. It's a special meal. Like for a lot of people, even today, Sunday is a special day, a special dinner, a special meal. And this is the Sabbath. And so we have relationship starting out right from the beginning. We also see food right from the beginning, because it tells us in verse 1 to eat bread on the Sabbath. But then now we see this relationship. Well, tell me about the relationship. Well, verse 1 says that they watched him closely. And I'll leave you all to think about that this coming week. And I'll be saying more on it, Lord willing, in weeks and days to come. So they watched him closely. What do you think the relationship is? They're watching him closely. So let's follow now why Sister Velma would say this is about fellowship and relationship and communion and being in one accord. That's the goal. That's what the Lord is after, is fellowship. When it's all said and done, our meeting together, even our Sunday school class, our Bible study, our coming together, what's the end goal? Is it just to study, just for the sake of studying? That's not the end goal. The end goal of all our study, the end goal of worship services, the end goal of it all is to be in fellowship with God. All our acts of worship, the different things we do, even the study, if it stops at study, it falls short. Study is good. God tells us to study, but we're not supposed to stop there. We want to build our relationship, grow in relationship with God. And so we see this is going to be centered, this first portion, all around a meal. A meal is going on, and you're going to find out that all of verse 1 through verse 24 all occurs in the same house. There is one setting for this whole passage in verses 1 through 24. And that's one reason I could portion it off like that, because even though things are going to be changing and there'll be a lot of interaction, we'll see a lot of different types of relationship, but it's all going to happen in the same house. It's those two fellows. Whether it turns into 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, or more, is those two fellows in the ship together. And the ship happens to be chapter 14, verse 1, the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees. And they're eating bread. To eat bread, that's the objective. To eat bread, to break communion, have fellowship on the Sabbath day. Well, let's follow food. I want us to follow the meal, why I could say that. And I want you to see just how common, just how often it occurs. And this is part of, you know, me breaking out the outline as God gave it to me. So as we, and you all follow along, verse 1, we first saw to eat bread on the Sabbath. And then we go on down, and we see in verse 7. In verse 7, we see that, I'm looking for food here. Let's see if you all find, oh, here we go. Verse 8, to a wedding feast. There it is right there. We see a feast. And so that verse 1, then we saw in verse 7, there is a feast. Then we keep going down. I want to find at least several others. And in one of my other Bibles, I have them all marked. But here, there's enough of them that we're going to find some more. So when we go to verse 12 talks about a dinner. Uh-oh, I went away here. There. Verse 12 talks about a dinner or a supper. And so we see in verse 1, to eat bread. And then we saw in verse 8, a wedding feast. And then we saw in verse 12, a supper, a dinner. So all of this is evolving around food. Verse 13, a feast. Now, it's just not about food. The main goal is fellowship with God, fellowship with the Lord, communion with Him, breaking bread together. And so it goes all the way. And this is something you could do on your own this week. Instead of Velma pointing them all out, you go through and you find and see how God shows it to you. So verse 1, and now we're going to see bookends. There's going to be some bookends here. Verse 1 is bookend number 1, where it says to eat bread on the Sabbath. But then we go to the last verse in section in Velma's outline, verse 24. And verse 24 says, for I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. And that's the closing bookend. And so that's our section 1. It started out with food, going into the house of the ruler of one of the Pharisees to eat bread. And then that section ends in verse 24, where it says, I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. So I believe you get the point here. We're talking about fellowship and relationship. And so when you're reading this week and studying this week, however God gives it to you, keep that in mind. There are different relationships that are going to happen in this passage. So the key word, back to my outline, Luke chapter 14, that's the heading overall, two sections. The first section, chapter 1 through chapter verse 1 through verse 24. About fellowship, relationship. The key word is food, a meal, dinner, supper. All right. Now let's go to part B and look at it for a moment. So the B portion starts in verse 25. Scene change, gear shift, paragraph, there's a change. And you can tell verse 25 because Luke's the right narrator says, now, great multitudes. And now we know we have moved from the Pharisees' house. We have moved Jesus, the meal, what happened at the meal happened at the meal. And you all, that's a good way to act it out. Well, tell me what went on at the dinner. And that's what we'll be talking about in weeks to come. But now in verse 25, we know we're moving to the next portion because verse 25 says, now great multitudes went with him. So Jesus has left the house. There's a whole nother group of people. It's not now the Pharisees or one of the ruler of the Pharisees. And maybe they were in the crowd, perhaps, but I don't think so. Maybe though, but it's different. This is now great multitudes. They went with him. Now they went with him. Is fitting in relationship also. That still fits in with relationship because they went with him. However, there's going to be a change. And you notice the change where it says, and he turned. And he turned and said to them. And now we're going to see another key word comes on the scene. And the key word is in verse 26, it's in verse 27, and it's in verse 33. And the word is disciple. And I'll say discipleship. Discipleship. We know about relationship, communion, fellowship, two fellows in the same ship. That's a portion. What about the B portion? It's discipleship. And what is discipleship? Well, Jesus said, follow me. That's a disciple, one who is learning from Jesus, following Jesus with the goal to be with him and as him. Not in the sense we'll replace God, you all know that, but we are to imitate him. He is the Lord. We are the disciples. We follow him. And that's what he's after. He is after, God is after, from the fall of man all the way to the end of the Bible. It's about fellowship with God. It's about relationship with God, this whole book. And of course, there's other things, but one of the chief goals of the whole Bible and everything we should be doing has to evolve around relationship with God. And then it grows out to with others. And so in verse 25, now great multitudes went with him. Yeah, there you could say they're together. They went with him. But Jesus turns now. He turns, and we can imagine when you picture it, and I want you to picture it, Jesus evidently is leading, and he turns, and he speaks to the multitude. And in the book of Luke, you all know we have followed those multitudes all throughout the book of Luke. There have been many multitudes. Well, verse 26, Jesus addresses the multitude. And he says, if anyone individually, he's talking to them individually, even though it's a multitude, he's talking to the group on an individual basis. As he's talking to us, we're together in this class. We're together collectively, but God is speaking to us individually, one by one. And so our key word comes up, disciple, or discipleship, in verse 26. If anyone comes to me, now that has to do with some relationship too in there, comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And that would say, whoa, what is Jesus talking about? Well, right from the get-go, he's laying it down. And we'll be saying more about it in weeks to come. But here he says, if you're going to come after me, relationship with me, if you're going to have relationship, show enough relationship with me, it means discipleship. You have to follow me. And you all know that's what we've been talking about all along in Luke. Remember what we said in chapter 13? Let's go back to chapter 13 just for a moment. What we just studied, where Jesus told us on previous weeks in Luke chapter 13, verse 24. Luke chapter 13, verse 22. 13:22, and Jesus went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? Question. And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. And so, see, that's still fitting in when you get to chapter 14. Don't throw out chapter 13, 12, 11, 10, 9. It's all working together. In Luke 13 here, he tells us, and we spent time talking about this, strive to enter through the narrow gate. We have to stay, you believe in the Lord Jesus, but we keep following him. We want to be a disciple of Christ. Believer, yes, we enter through faith. By grace are we saved through faith. We believe in the Lord with our hearts. We confess with our mouths. But it continues, follow me. And so that's what it comes down to in Luke chapter 14. Now he's laying it down. Yes, be in relationship with me, but this involves discipleship. This involves following me. Be like me, obey me, listen to me, sit at my feet, follow me. And that's why you'll see discipleship showing up in verse 26, verse 27, and then again in verse 33. So he says in 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And that's the phrase that keeps showing up. I'm having to watch our time here. So we're doing good, 25 minutes. Cannot be my disciple. Now, that's a phrase that's going to show up three times. And then in verse 27, it says, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me. See that come after me? That's discipleship. That's, yeah, I believe. A whole bunch of folks believe, but they're not following. And Jesus demands following him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man's coming to the Father unless you come my way, by me. And so we believe, but we continue on in faith. And so verse 27, again, he says, and whoever does not bear his cross, come after me, that's discipleship, cannot be my disciple. And he's emphatic about that. There's no, what do you think about that? Can I get your opinion? Is there a comment? He just says it. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. And then he gives some parables, and we come on down to verse 33. And so verse 33, we see an equal sign. You know, I use the analogy of sometimes it's addition in the Bible, sometimes it's subtraction, division, but this is an equal sign. So verse 33, so likewise. So the one portion, now he's summing it up, equal sign, summation. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. And so we have an A portion, relationship, fellowship. The B portion, talking about discipleship. And then there's a bookend to all of this, and that's in verse 35. In verse 35, at the very end, I'll read the entire verse. Verse 35, well, 34, salt is good. But if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? And that's a question. You need to think about that. What you gonna use to put on the salt? If the salt is good and the salt lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill. But men throw it out. That's a key thing there. Throw it out. That ultimately is damnation there. Throw it out. And we don't want to end ultimately in damnation. We want to be in relationship with God, aright. We want to be one of his disciples, aright. Because if we're not following him, the ultimate thing that will happen is it will be thrown out. And that fits in with our last few chapters, division. So the Bible is division. Let's go back to chapter 12 for a moment, where we saw Jesus talking about he came to divide, division. And you're going to see division even when you're in that house thinking about the relationship between the Pharisee and Jesus in the house and the others. But let's look at that word division again. It was back in chapter 12, Luke chapter 12. Jesus says, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on the earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. And there's the division now. And we studied this when we were in Luke chapter 12. We talked about that division. And so verse 51, it says, I tell you, not at all. I came to divide. You're either for me, with me, in relationship with me, following me, or you will be thrown out. And so verse 51, the word division. Verse 52, from now on, five in one house will be divided. Three against two, two against three. Father will be divided. And the division is coming. What's causing the division? Relationship with God, relationship with Jesus, discipleship with God, discipleship with Jesus. And so following Jesus. And so when we get to Luke chapter 14, these same things are going on. Matter of fact, they're all throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. Relationship, discipleship. Discipleship, of course, taking a different form in the New Testament. And so we see now in Luke chapter 14, let me review again what I've said, the outline of this chapter in our overview, in our plane ride, our tour trip that we're on. We find out Luke chapter 14 has these 35 verses. They split into two, not split, but we could outline them into two portions. Verses 1 through 24 all has to do in some way with relationship, fellowship, communion with God and with fellow man. So that's verses 1 through 24. The common word that keeps occurring, the thing that keeps occurring is food, supper, banquet, dinner. It's all throughout. From verse 1, where it says he went into the house to eat bread, all the way to verse 24, where the last word is supper, where the last word is supper. And you say, well, why all the food, food, food? Well, you know, we get together around food a lot, but it's even deeper than that. And I'll say a little bit more on that in a moment, too. The B portion we saw is in verses 25 through 35, where the scene changes. It's out of the Pharisees' house now. And now Jesus is on the move. Great multitudes are following him. He turns and he speaks. And he's speaking to the multitude. But keep in mind, we are in that multitude. We're part of that multitude that he speaks to, if anyone. And the key word is discipleship. An imitator of Christ, following Christ, learning from him. And then this chapter ends with a warning, an admonition. It ends with verse 35. It is neither fit for the land. That's that salt we were reading about. It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. Here comes the listen. You know, that's one of the key words of Luke. If we had time, I could go back to chapter 4 and we could follow hearing. Hearing is a key word in Luke. Well, here in verse 35, he who has ears to hear. Jesus is talking to the multitudes. He who has ears to hear. Jesus is talking to Velma. He who has ears to hear. Velma's talking to you. He who has ears to hear, God's talking to all humanity. He who has ears to hear, let, and that let is allow, let it happen. Let, but you have to make a choice. Let him hear. It's individual. It's an individual thing. So he that has ears to hear, did you hear what Jesus really said? If you really have ears to hear, let him hear, which works out in obedience. When it's all said and done, truly being a disciple is to hear what he says and to do it. You don't just be hearers of the word, but followers, doers of the word as well. And so that's an overview of this chapter. But now I want to, you know, I just love the outlines. So now I want to give you know, I have the A portion, but now I want to give this A portion a 1, 2, 3, 4. And we're going to look at it even closer. Velma's given even more of an outline. We saw verse 1 through 24 is all in the same house. Or maybe you say, well, that's what Velma said. I haven't seen that yet. But you will when you read it on your own, and I'm going to show it to you now. So Luke chapter 14, we know verse 1, Jesus entered. Now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. That's the umbrella of this passage here. That's the setting of it all. Okay, and so that setting will be the same until we get to the end of the chapter. Now, there's going to be different interaction going on all throughout this passage. But scene one, that's what I'm going to say. This is scene one. And my scene one is in verses 1 through 4. My scene one is verses 1 through 4, because we're going to see that in this passage, 1 through 4, well, one is the umbrella, but 2, 3, and 4, there's this man that comes on the scene and he has a disease. He has dropsy. Well, that would be, now this is when you're meditating and thinking about it and picturing it. Started out talking about a ruler of the Pharisees. And now we've gone from a ruler of the Pharisees to this certain man. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. So scene one is this man that enters. Maybe he was already at the house. Maybe he came into the house. I think it's all a setup, actually. But you all ponder that and think about it as you study this week. But this scene one is Jesus in the house of the Pharisee. And then we see this man, this diseased man with dropsy. And Jesus heals the man. So scene one is Jesus heals the man in the Pharisee's house. All right. So that's scene one, verses 2 through 1 through 4. Like I said, one is umbrella. Verses 2 through 4. And we're going to notice when you get to verse 4, see, they're in this house and this fellowship going on. But notice how verse 4 ends. Verse 4 says, but they kept silent, and he, Jesus, took him, the man that had dropsy, healed the man, and let him go. Let him go. That's important. He let him go. Go from where? Well, you know, from the house. Why? I thought it was about relationship. I thought it was about fellowship. Why would he let him go? Well, that's something for you to think about. And I'll say more about it in days and weeks to come. So my scene one is verses 1 through 4. Jesus in the house of the Pharisee heals a man with dropsy. All right. And then scene two. Now, we're still in the same house, as I've told you. All of this is in the same house, but it's going to be a little change here, because in verse 5, it says, then he, Jesus, answered them, saying, Jesus answered them. Now, when it said answered them, you have to go back up, because verse 3, there's a question. There's a question on the table. And verse 3, Jesus asked a question. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? They kept silent. Verse 5, Jesus comes around. He's going to answer. He's going to answer. So verses 5, my scene 2 is verses 5 all the way through verse 11. Verse 5 through verse 11. And in this scene, we're going to see Jesus answering the question that he asked in verse 3. So he's asking the question and to the people that have been invited, because you got people in the house. And you notice in verse 7, look at verse 7. So he said, so he told a parable to those who were invited. When he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them. Okay, so that's scene two. Scene two, now scene one, Jesus healed that man, but he let that man go. He let him go, and you can meditate, think about that on your own. Scene two, now Jesus is addressing the ruler and these Pharisees. And so in scene two, Jesus answers the question that he asked. And in verse seven, he's speaking to all of those who were invited. So that's what verse seven tells us. He's speaking to the guests that are in the house of the ruler of the Pharisee. Certain people were invited. And you'll notice on your own, I won't go through it myself, the word invite is a common word in this passage. You see it in verse 7, invited. It's in verse 8, invited. It's in verse 9, invited. I guess Valmaine's going to tell you. It's in verse 10, invited. In verse 10 again, invited. Verse 12 again, invited. It goes on, invited, invited, invited. And then you get down to verse 24, summation, invited. And so verse 24, invited. Let me say this, by the way, because the Lord's bringing it to me now. Verse 1 is the Pharisee's dinner. It's the ruler of the house. He's the one hosting the dinner. It's an earthly meal. It's an earthly meal put together by the ruler of the house. But by the time you get to verse 24, it's a heavenly supper. It's the Lord's supper, as it were. It's the banquet that we're going to in glory. It's that heavenly supper, and the Bible is full of God is a God of communion and fellowship. That's how the Bible opened, where God first told man, I've given you of all the trees of the field, all the trees are good for food, pleasant to the eyes, eat all you want. Our God is a banqueting God. He's a happy, quote, happy God. That's where we get our emotions from there. He's a God of joy and banqueting. Now, he's a God of wrath, and he's to be referenced. But he's also let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving and joy. He's that kind of God, too. And he's the God that's going to prepare and preparing for us the banquet table. And that was in chapter 13. I'm watching our time here. So we have eight minutes. In chapter 13, we saw in chapter 13, when we go back to verse 28. And here comes some division here. Chapter 13 of Luke, verse 28. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. Think about that salt thrown out in chapter 13, thrust out. And then he says, who's coming to this table? Who's going to enter into the glory? Well, verse 29 says, they will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. And all throughout in chapter 13, the kingdom of God sitting down, all these people. And the sitting, you know, we're going to this great supper and this wedding we're part of. We are the bride, and there's going to be the supper. And Jesus told us, I won't eat any more of this communion until I eat it new with you in the kingdom of God. So we're on our way to the heavenly supper. So chapter 14, verse 1 started out earthly meal hosted by a man that invited people. But chapter 24 ends with the heavenly supper. All are invited. You'll see that too. All are invited, but not all will come. And you notice that's how in a lot of churches today, especially Black Baptist churches, and I don't know about other churches, but we call it the invitation time. It's the invitation and we open, quote, open the doors of the church. And we extend the invitation. And so invitation to come to Jesus is still going out. So let me go back because I'm going to finish this other outline I'm giving you. So chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, scene 1. Jesus in the Pharisee's house heals a man with dropsy and lets him go. Scene two is in verse 5 all the way down to verse 11. And that's where Jesus is talking to the invited guest. He has a word to say to the guest. But then when you get to verse 12, here's scene three. It's all in the same house, you all. You know that by now. Scene three, verse 12 through verse 14. Because in verse 12 now, it says, then he also said to him who invited him. So Jesus had a word. Jesus healed the man with dropsy. Let him go. Jesus had a word for the guest. That's in verse 5 through 11. But now Jesus has a word for the host. He has a word for that ruler, for the host. And he says in verse 12, then he also said to him who invited him. And so that's a word for the host. And that's that division, that scene is verse 12 through 14. Then we get to scene four. And scene four starts verse 15 all the way to 24. Verses 15 all the way to 24. And verse 15, we see a man who was at that dinner. He speaks up. Verse 15. Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things. That's what it said. He heard. And think about how this chapter ends. Did he really hear? He that who has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, verse 15, some man sitting at the table with Jesus heard what Jesus said to him. And this man said, blessed is he who shall eat bread. There it is again. In the kingdom of God. And now Jesus is going to talk about that kingdom of God supper. That supper that will take place in glory. And so this man, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And then Jesus gives a parable. And it says here in verse 16, then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And so there's that invite again. And you notice it's in verse 16, verse 17. But verse 18 says, but some folks had some excuses. So that lets you know the invitation is to all humanity. We have 2 minutes. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Revelation, I'm ending now because I do want to end on time. Revelation chapter 3, the Bible opens, like I told you, food. God is a God of fellowship, relationship. Sin came in. Jesus had to come. Jesus, he became our bread, the wine, this supper that Jesus broke, that we might be in communion again with him through covenant. But then we go on to Revelation, and chapter 3 says, Revelation chapter 3, the church of Laodicea, where Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup, eat with him and him with me. And then the last chapter of the Bible talks about having a right to the tree of life. And so I sum all this up to say, how is your relationship? And Sister Velma, me too. How is my relationship with God? Am I a follower of Christ? And so I'm going to end in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. So beautiful, so glorious. The God that you are that tells it like it is, we appreciate truth. And we thank you, Lord, for showing us what we need to know. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. May it be with us all throughout this week. And may you carry us in your loving arms, leading us into closer relationship to you, and truly help us to be one of your disciples, that one day we might too join in with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and from that great multitude of saints, and together sit in the kingdom of God, eating anew with Jesus. We praise you and give you glory In Jesus' precious name, amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Good word.
Good word. Delicious.
Beautiful. Beautiful outline.
Praise the Lord.
Great as usual.
Probably makes you want to go eat, huh?
Yeah, I think it is very. Why don't you go have some dinner now?
God bless everyone.
God bless everyone.
Stay safe. Amen. Yeah. Next week, Lord willing, we'll continue in chapter 14. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. Thanks a lot, Sister Velma.
Thank you. Keep me in prayer. I'll be praying for you all.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Love you.
Love you, too.
Love you, too.
Night and a great week.
You too.
You too.
Great week.
Yes, Miss Sadie. Beautiful lesson, huh?
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Love you.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.